Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. Two things to get to here before I want to get into a take that I have. Number one, it is official. It was just announced that the UConn Board of Trustees voted yay for UConn to join the Big East, and the Big East will host a press conference at Madison Square Garden tomorrow at noon to announce UConn rejoining the Big East Conference. That, my friends, is pretty darn exciting. I am fired up about it. There are some schools that are synonymous with certain conferences. And when you think Big East, I think of one of the first schools I think of is UConn. It just makes sense to have UConn in the conference. And UConn will now join. Isn't it crazy when you stop and look at all the kind of aside, almost like a Seinfeld and like observation here, how all the schools are the same colors? They're all like either blue and white or navy and white. Seton Hall, Villanova, Xavier, Georgetown, Creighton, Butler, UConn, like everybody's the same color. Like I always think about when I'm calling games is you don't want to have like a suit on or a tie on that makes it look like I'm like if I wear an orange tie to call a Syracuse game or something like that, we're like, Homer, he wants that team to win. But anytime I want to wear like a navy suit or I'm like, well, every team's freaking navy and blue. I don't know what to do. All right. I don't know what to do at all. So, that is exciting. Not too surprising given all the reports, but it's officially going to go down, and then there'll be a press conference tomorrow. The other thing, can I say this? Because I've heard this a lot. I don't quite follow the whole, you know, you got to take a lesson from Toronto on how you fill out and build a roster. You've heard that take a lot, right? When people talk about the Lakers and what they should do. Well, you know, they should go the Toronto route and fill out the roster. You don't want to tie up all, you know, have multiple stars. I'm like, well, hold on now. Having multiple stars is the only reason Golden State was able to survive in advance, given what unfolded with injuries, right? Like, I guess we better take a lesson from Toronto. Well, okay, hold on now, though. Because if Kawhi would have gotten hurt, you think Toronto is advancing? No. The only reason Golden State even got to the point to where they were was because they had not one star, not two stars, that's the only reason. So I'm kind of confused when people are like, oh, you got to take a lesson from Toronto and how you fill out a roster. It's not about having a whole bunch of stars. Well, I mean, okay. First of all, If you're pointing out the whole injury thing, the whole reason they were able to survive is because they had multiple stars. And then also, so we're going to use, like, y'all do realize that if Kevin Durant doesn't blow his Achilles and Klay Thompson doesn't tear his ACL, that Toronto likely gets swept. And so all of a sudden that's the model. Like, I guess I'm like, to me, Toronto's more of the exception than they are the rule. There has been a historical precedent set in this league that it takes multiple superstars to win an NBA championship. It's been set. Outside of maybe Detroit in 2004 and Dallas in 2011 and then Toronto in 2019, I guess I'm like, what am I missing? I'm like, everybody's like, oh, you got to take a lesson from Toronto. What do you mean take a lesson from Toronto? I'm not saying I didn't like their team. I did. But don't kid yourself. Like, it still takes multiple stars to win a title. It still takes multiple stars. I guess I didn't quite like that. That's always been something I'm like, what? The Lakers should think about what Toronto. Okay. In what way? No, it's not about having multiple stars. Well, what do you mean? Because, like, again, if Kawhi, let's say Kawhi gets hurt. You think the Raptors are getting past the Sixers? No. You think the Raptors are getting past the Bucks? No. I'm trying to figure out like what people are exactly mean by that. I mean, they did a good job of selecting players that all, like, they did a good job. Like, their roster had depth and all that stuff, but in all, they only played about seven guys. So I'm not, the whole take a lesson from Toronto take out there is a little bit perplexing to me, right? I'm not quite totally sure what the deal is with that. That's just me. By the way, did you see there's a story today in the USA Today from Dan Wolkin, and here's the headline. NCAA to tighten transfer guidelines limit players gaining immediate eligibility. I think this is one of those things that doesn't, it's not as complicated as people are trying to make it be. You guys know me listening to this show, and you guys know my background, and oftentimes our backgrounds are going to shape how we view certain things. I was a player that transferred. I transferred from Kansas to Creighton. So oftentimes, I'm a guy that defends transfers. And sometimes I think it's unfair how people paint with a broad brush on all transfers are quitters, all transfers don't want to compete, all transfers don't understand the whole concept of commitment. Oh, God, give me a break. And also, it kills me the hypocrisy of how people view transfers. It's like if someone transfers out of your program, they're a quitter, they're soft, they don't want to compete, they're weak-minded. But when someone transfers into your program, you're all fired up and they're misunderstood and they just need to change the scenery and all this is going to be great. Well, which is it? So that's why not everybody transfers for the wrong reasons and not everybody transfers for the right reasons. And oddly enough, I actually am one of those guys that I actually don't mind the whole you have to sit out a year if you transfer thing, depending on why you transfer. And the why is what has people kind of cross-eyed and confused right now. Because the why, in terms of the NCAA giving certain people waivers to be eligible immediately, has been really perplexing. Really perplexing. For example, it came out last week. Greg Bell, who left Nebraska after three or four games last year, was the starting running back. Left Nebraska after three or four games. Somehow has been granted immediate eligibility at San Diego State. To that, I say, what? Like, why would he be able to be eligible immediately? I don't understand that at all. I mean, you were the starter, dude. You were the starting running back. You started the season at running back. And you quit three or four games into the year. So I actually am somebody that I actually think having some semblance of roadblocks and deterrence from people just transferring all the time is actually not bad. Because, I mean, I don't think we want to live in a world where people can just quit and transfer and be eligible right away whenever. And I actually think that year sitting out deterrent is a decent one. But with all that said, I've been pretty steadfast and consistent in my belief that, in my opinion, there should be some sort of waiver process when guys can be eligible immediately. The biggest no-brainer of that is if your coach gets fired or retires or leaves for another job, you should be eligible to transfer and play immediately. Noah Vedral shouldn't have had to gone through a waiver process when Scott Frost took another job. He should have been able to be eligible immediately. In my opinion, a guy like Brady Hyman from Plattsmouth, Nebraska, plays a season under Tim Miles at Nebraska. Tim Miles then gets fired. Brady Hyman is transferred to South Dakota. Brady Hyman should be eligible immediately. The player he committed to, or the coach he committed to, Tim Miles, is no longer there. And the coach then who took over for him basically told him, there's the door, we don't see a spot for you. To me, that guy should be eligible immediately. To me, it's ridiculous. Think about this now. And now you understand there are two different sports. Somehow, Greg Bell is going to be eligible immediately after starting and quitting four games in on Nebraska football. But Brady Hyman, whose coach was fired. And the new coach said, hey, unfortunately, we run a different style, more pace and three-point shooting and all that stuff. You don't quite fit, so you have to leave. Brady Hyman has to go sit out of here. Now, tell me how that makes sense. That makes no sense. Now, the hard part is getting into, I mean, I just think you got to, I think there are times where maybe, a family member gets sick. There are circumstances that unfold that cause a player to leave, to go somewhere. Like, there are times you have to kind of, I don't think you can make a blanket rule and be like, everybody has to sit out a year. Well, I think there are certain instances where guys should be granted a waiver and be eligible immediately. I do. Now, how we define that is where the saying, the devil's always in the details. How we define, well, Nick, how would you define who gets a waiver and who doesn't? I don't know. It's like the whole government's definition of porn. I'll know it when I see it. That's how it, I can't tell you right now, but you come and present your case to me, and I'll say, no. I mean, Greg Bell, what's Greg Bell's case? Hi, NCAA. My name's Greg Bell. So here's my situation. I went to Nebraska and I was the starting running back, and I was playing a couple of games and things weren't going really well. And then I lost my spot and I was just not happy about how things had went. And so I left and I want to be able to play right away. Nope. Next. No way. Nope. You quit in the middle of the year. Nope. 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 But here comes Brady Hyman. Hi, my name is Brady Hyman. Hi, NCAA. I'd like to be eligible immediately. I committed to play for Tim Miles. Tim Miles was then fired by the university. This new coach, Fred Hoiberg, has told me that I don't really have a spot in their program with how they play. So my situation has greatly changed. I think I should be eligible immediately. You got it, man. Go play right away. So it's case by case or different things. I can't sit here and define it on the front end of exactly what that is. But I think you just got to have some sort of committee that has some semblance of consistency and then figures out who gets a waiver and who doesn't. But the thing that strikes me as obvious, and people can get all upset at this. What happens if a coach gets fired, retires, or leaves for another job? Those players should be able to transfer immediately and be eligible. So I don't know what this is ultimately going to look like. I really don't. But in some ways, I just don't think this is as hard as some people are making it out to be. I really don't think this is as challenging as some people want to make it out to be. But it has gotten pretty willy-nilly and loose and inconsistent and head-scratching with who gets a waiver, who doesn't, and why. I mean, again, I don't mean to rail on the kid, but why Greg Bell would be granted a waiver is beyond me. It's beyond me. I don't get it. Homeboy was a starting running back in Nebraska. Quit four games in. What? I don't get that at all. All right, 402-951-1620. You can email the show, nick@1620thezone.com. You can hit me on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. Rock and rolling, 1245 here on a Wednesday. Game time.